It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. We are in the car, actually, believe it or not. They kicked us out of the press box. So we thought, hey, we got about a 40-minute drive back to the hotel. Or rather, we're staying at my friend's house, but we saw a 40-minute drive. Why not 4th Street in the car alongside Jackson Kennedy? Post-game podcast, are you kidding me? It is 2:50 in the morning right now. I'm not even kidding. Jackson, what does that clock read?
The clock reads 2:50, Dima. Dude, the clock reads 2:50.
This might be the latest 4th Street in history. But we're going to muscle through because we love to give you guys content. So the Miss falls 66-13 to the number 14 ranked team in the country, Florida State Seminoles. Jackson has a lot of stats pulled up. We're going to get into a lot of stats. I want to kind of parse this podcast into three separate topics because I know that, you know, we're not going to go long tonight. We need sleep, but we wanted to get something out to y'all. And I know that there's a lot of talk tonight, and I've been reading a lot of stuff on Twitter. Frustration, Jackson, right? And this game was compared by Will Hall several times to the 2021 Alabama game. And in that game, Southern Miss lost 63-14, and it was like, okay, you lost by 49 points. And this game was supposed to be the how far the program has come since then. And they lost by more points tonight. Now, does that mean that necessarily the program hasn't made any strides? I don't necessarily think so. But do you think that it's a fair comparison to compare that loss to Alabama and this loss to Ibex?
I think that it's fair, Dima. I think that it's fair. I think this Florida State is marginally better than that 2021 Alabama team. I think this team that I was on the field watching is poised to not only compete in but to win a national championship. Like, if there is one team that I think that can beat Georgia right now or beat whoever is the number one team, it's Florida State. These guys look crazy. They look crazy good. And, you know, I was thinking about what I was going to say because they had very little water on the sidelines. And I was thinking, dang, I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I'm tired. And shout out to the student athletic training staff for giving me water. They are awesome. But the thing is, I was thinking back to last year's ULL game. And Southern Miss won, and they didn't win by, like, 20, 30 points. I think they only won by, like, 10 or 14, right, Dima? Mm-hmm. But it felt a lot farther apart than it was. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like Southern Miss won by 30, you know? Especially with the feel of the crowd and everything. This game, at least from my perspective on the field, it didn't feel like Southern Miss lost by 50-plus points. And I say that because you kind of knew going into this game, you know, like if a team's paying you $1.5 million, you're not necessarily expecting to come out and win. Should Southern Miss shoot to win? Absolutely. Absolutely they should. But if a team's paying you $1.5 million, you don't go in there expecting to blow them out of the water, you know? And going into games like this, obviously, in my heart of hearts, in the Southern Miss fan in me, that has to be repressed while I cover these games and work as a student journalist. It's like, yeah, we can pull off an upset, and that's like what I'm saying in my head. But logically, you know, Florida State was always favored. The betting line was -31, and Florida State covered by a lot. And it was due to self-imposed penalties, but it was also due, like, they had such a great roster and a great game plan. And at some point, Southern Miss just kind of tuckered out. And I'm glad that Southern Miss didn't show off their full offensive prowess, that they didn't open up their full playbook, because they have a two-lane game that is very important next week. But going back to what I was saying, and Cloverleaf Mall put it pretty well last week. Whenever we do these late-night podcasts, I just kind of carry a drunk uncle vibe. I've never gotten drunk in my life. I don't really plan on it. But I can understand the comparison, because I've been around inebriated people, and I remind myself of that in these 4th Street After Dark episodes. But going back to what I was originally saying...
What are we talking about?
Look, man, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Let me ramble. Look, the reason why it seemed closer than the score indicated for me is because being on the field, knowing the context of this game, I was more inclined to look at the positives, to look at what is Southern Miss going to carry throughout the rest of the season. And the first thing that I want to talk about, Dima, is the DB play.
Yeah, I just want to go to that really quickly, and not the DBs, because we're going to say that for a later podcast. Okay, so the yardage total, if I'm not mistaken, was like 280 to like 60 at halftime. So I don't necessarily think you can say that it was closer than what it appeared to be, because, I mean, Southern Miss really didn't compete. I mean, there wasn't a moment in the game where it felt like, well, you know, if maybe they get a stop here, it makes it interesting, right? Like, I think that it just always seemed like an avalanche of points was fixing to happen. And that's eventually what did happen, right? Florida State with that 14-3 kind of, you know, we keep going back to the 14-3. You know, it was 7-0 almost instantaneously. Southern Miss goes 3-and-out right there on their first drive. I thought they had Jacarius Caston actually open on that third down play, but Billy was kind of pressured and he wasn't able to see him and all that stuff. But anyway, so they punt it back to Florida State. Florida State, I think, goes 3-and-out right there. They punt it back to Southern Miss, and Southern Miss gets like a yard and then punts it back to Florida State.
And now, there was only one punt from Southern Miss by halftime. That is what the stats were coming up on the scoreboard. I think Southern Miss went for it on fourth down that second drive and didn't get it.
That's right. Yeah,
and it was because 7-0. Of all of the penalties that made it like 3rd and 21, and then Billy Wiles hit an incredible 19-yard pass
right, to Traquan. So they went through it on fourth down, and then Florida State got the ball, scored. I don't remember exactly what happened after that, but regardless, the avalanche of points felt like it was fixing to happen at any moment. And when it happened, you know, like Jackson said, it just felt like it was just not necessarily that Southern Miss just gave up, but they really did feel like they just kind of, you know, stepped back. Like they were tired, right? This is not they're not as depth as Florida State is. So I feel like tonight, you know, you kind of just, I agree with kind of like, well, you know, I don't know what you expect them to do, right? Like, this is kind of what I was saying on the instant reaction video, which you can go find on our YouTube. Like, I don't know what you want Southern Miss to do. Like, I understand, and I've been reading on Twitter, you know, tonight as we were writing and as we were editing photos and all that stuff, like, Southern Miss's fans' frustration, and I understand the frustration because, you know, you want to see some improvements from last time you went to a team with this caliber of an offense and this caliber of a defense. You want to see something that's not even worse than it was when you really didn't even have an offense or a quarterback or anything like that. But, like, I don't know what they're supposed to do, man, because, like, this is a Florida State team who is, I would say, significantly, if not light years ahead of Southern Miss right now. And so because of the national power that a team who's competing for a national championship is more equipped to handle, you know, they're just so much more depth, there's so much more speed, there's so much more size than Southern Miss. And I know Southern Miss fans don't want to hear that. Like, I understand that, but that's the bottom line. Like, that's the truth. And that's something that I've been saying all week, and that's why I just don't understand. Like, Southern Miss fans basically, you know, talk themselves into thinking that they'll compete in this game. And then they get to the game, and it's 66-13, and they're like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, Firewheel Hall. But that's not it at all. You have to look at the positives, because there's no way tonight that they were going to go in here and, I mean, they would have to play a real flawless game. And I don't even know if that would be enough just because of the talent that Florida State has. But even with Southern Miss's best game, I think that they still lose. So I think it's a close game. I'm not saying they get beat 66-13 with their best game, because they did not play their best game tonight. Obviously, with all the penalties and everything, it didn't help them. But I just don't understand kind of the fan mantra of like, hey, you know, okay, we went to the number four team's house, and oh, we got slaughtered. Let's just throw away everything that's been built, because that's not it at all. I just think that to me is not the mindset that I take away from tonight. I take away a lot of things from tonight. I take away the fact that you had a quarterback who, you know, while he had his mistakes, Jackson and I both said he gave a good B average game. Like, I think that you don't really need to ask that much more of him. I thought the defensive backs really looked good tonight. Like,
they looked fantastic.
They really looked good tonight. Like, against really good receivers. This is against real competition. Like, this isn't against Alcorn State, who, no offense to them, but, you know, they would get beat 84-0 tonight. You know, like,
84-0 is generous.
Yeah, so, like, this is against real competition. And, you know, I didn't think the offensive line played that great, and that's okay. You're playing a really good defensive line. So there were positives to take away from tonight, and I think just saying that we didn't cover the spread, or like we didn't compete, like I just think that that's not the mantra to play with. Jackson, I think, you know, a lot of fans want to talk about, you know, I think to me it's shocking the fact that they ran 9 offensive plays and didn't get their best playmaker of the ball against the number 4 team in the country. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they're being tricky. I think you're trying to be a little tricky, little Ryan Johnson, and try and subvert expectations there. Like, oh, hey, you thought we were going to use Frank Gore Jr.? Wrong. Tyquan Henderson, which is a pretty good game plan, because, you know, these guys probably have at least 1 or 2 players that are dedicated to saying, hey, make sure Frank Gore Jr. doesn't make us look like idiots. Because imagine if that would have happened. Imagine Frank Gore Jr. rushes for like 200 yards against Florida State, and then Florida State fans go, hey, why the hell did we not recruit him? You know what I mean? And you never want that. I'm like, hey, this Hall of Fame running back that went to Florida State had a son, and Florida State didn't recruit him, and then he comes to Florida State's house and demolishes them. That was probably Florida State's biggest fear, aside from losing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a cool old man driving on a loud motorcycle. Yeah, baby. You go without wearing a helmet or without hair on the top of your head. But anyways, you know, I think it was interesting to try and subvert expectations. I think it was interesting to try and establish the pass play, because Florida State's linebackers are good, man. They're really good. They're huge. They look like D linemen, but they move like DBs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're incredible. Like, this team was full of NFL starting caliber. You are going to be wearing their jerseys within 5 years type talent. You know what I mean? And if you can make the linebackers have to adjust to the pass more, it's going to make Frank Gore Jr. shine even more. But it was very, very hard to get really any offensive momentum. And it's not entirely on the fault of Billy Wiles. It's on the fault of 13 penalties for 90 yards, Dima.
Yeah.
90 yards.
Just to point out there, 45 of those 90 yards were on unsportsmanlike conducts. They had 3 unsportsmanlike conducts calls. So 45 of the 90 yards were unsportsmanlike conducts. So those weren't necessarily the false starts and offsides. They did have 4 offside penalties tonight, which I feel like that's really high.
That's incredible.
So I don't know if it was like, because I can understand one, and I understand the false starts. Like, you can't really blame them for the false starts. They're not used to playing in that type of loud environment. I mean, that's just the bottom line of that. But the offsides to me, I don't know if that was the ref kind of, because normally what happens is they'll check down to the ref. You'll see them pointing down to the ref. Because it wasn't like they were jumping. Like, I think they were just lining up offside. So I don't know what was going on with that. That was very strange to me. The press box was really high, so it was really hard to see down there on that aspect. But I think they had, you know, 3 unsportsmanlike conduct fouls. There's one on the kickoff. There was 2 throughout the plays. There that one which really hurt them, which was when they were driving the ball. It was 7-0, which we just previously talked about, and it pushed them back to make it 3rd and 21. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, and the penalties, you know, the penalties really hurt them in the drives that it felt like maybe they were getting something. But, I expected them to have penalties tonight. Like, I didn't expect them not to have any penalties. I didn't expect a clean game. We knew that it was going to be – it's just hard, man. It just really is hard to expect a second-time starting quarterback to go in there and to be a Johnny Manziel or something going into Alabama. I know it's a weird example, but it's just hard to expect that. And I'm not necessarily saying that Slimmers fans expected that, but I do understand their kind of mantra of like, well, you know, could it have been 45-21? Like, you know, like, could have that have been the score? And I mean, 66-13 is, I mean, that's a tough margin, especially considering Travis and all the ones were out the start of the third quarter.
Yeah, it was, you know, my original prediction of 42-28 kind of looked like a goober there. But you can't really fault, I mean, you can fault me because I should have looked at it from a more objective lens, but you can't really fault the Southern Miss faithful for being faithful. You know, like, obviously going into this game, you know that it's a bye game, like a B-U-Y game. But Southern Miss is known for doing it before. Like, my mom and dad have gone to games that Southern Miss gets paid a ton of money to play, and they absolutely shellacked whoever it was. You know what I mean? So you can't blame the Southern Miss faithful for having faith that they will get back to that one day. And I have faith that they will in some regard,
But I think tonight showed that they're not even close. No. I think is the bottom line. Like, they were not close to competing with Florida State tonight.
And I don't think that's so much a statement on Southern Miss as it's a statement on...
This is just college football.
College football.
Right. When I say that, I'm not saying that, like, Southern Miss, like, God, they should be. No. It's not any fault of them.
No,
it's the bottom line of that Florida State's third best wide receiver is bigger than both of Southern Miss's safeties.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, it just, it's one of the unfortunate things about college football in which you have, like, the current state of it is that there is almost no parity anymore,
right,
Dima.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, were texting that during the game.
Yeah, I texted Dima from the sidelines, and I'm like, where did the parity go in college football? Because that's what made it special, you know? And with this new age of conference realignment, and, I mean, people have always spent money on players, but now it's obscene amounts, and it's public, and it's out there, and whatever, man. But, like, now just buying up players from a portal, you can assemble a super team for a year, and you're kind of like the 2021 Rams, you know? You're like the 2021-2022 Rams of just buying up every piece you can get, have one super successful year, earn hundreds of millions of dollars after spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and then you go back to being Dookie. Or you continue to keep paying for players. And I gotta hand it to Norvell. He has really developed Jordan Travis into a Heisman candidate, you know?
Man, he made some plays tonight that... You know, I keep going back to this statement. Like, I don't know what Southern Miss was supposed to do. It was 2 fourth downs in what I thought was a pretty big moment. I think it was only 7-0, right? And if Southern Miss could get a fourth down stop, maybe get a little momentum, and, you know, you never know. But, like, it was 4th and 10, Jackson, and Jordan Travis is running backwards, like, 25 yards. He ran – they had the ball in, like, the 35, and he ran all the way back to the 40 and found – Trey Benton for a 17-yard gain, and, like, Southern Miss had him bottled up. They weren't going to let him run on him. I think like Quentin Bivens and Josh Radcliffe were, like, standing there and, like, just blocking his path, and they were like, no, you're not getting through here. But then Travis is just like, okay, well, I'm going to throw it over the top of you, and there's nobody covering the running back, so the running back runs for first down. And then the second one, you know, Travis is rolling out to the left, and there's four Golden Eagles all around him. Then he circles back to the opposite end of the field and runs for first down because there's nobody on that end of the field because everybody else is covering because the DBs tonight were really good, and they were able to cover those receivers for the most part. And that's just, you know, that's just Jordan Travis being a Heisman candidate. Like that, and Southern Miss doesn't see offensive players who were Heisman candidates each week. And so that's the difference that, like, you know, when they see whoever the heck is going to throw play quarterback for Tulane next week, because, you know, Michael Pratt might not because of the injury, he didn't play today, but whatever. I mean, that's not going to be a Jordan Travis running around back there.
No.
Right? And, like, when they play Arkansas State, that sure as heck isn't going to be a Jordan Travis running around over there. So, like, that's just not what Southern Miss is used to seeing. And, you know, Jordan Travis was doing this against LSU's defense, who's an SEC, like, top five team, right? So, top 10 team. And so, it's just the, like you said, there's just not parity anymore. And it's honestly sad to see because, you know, you used to be able to go to these games thinking, well, you know, Southern Miss, their history, they can maybe pull off an upset. But now you really can't go to these games expecting them to win anymore. And that's what's, like, that's what's sad. And you know, there might be some day that Southern Miss could get back to, you know, when they would go into Alabama and win or whatever. But it's just the bottom line of, like, that's not the reality of college football anymore. And it's sad to see because Southern Miss, and Jackson and I were talking about this on the way down to Tallahassee, like, they were affected greatly by conference realignment in 2011 to 2013 when they weren't selected to go to the AAC. And, like, if they were in the AAC, you know, would they have the success of Tulane where they're taking Ole Miss down to the fourth quarter? You know, maybe. But, like, going 0-12 and 1-11 those 2 years and affected by conference alignment just really hurt them in the recruiting trail and trying to stay what they were doing in 2011, which was, like, going to the number 6 team in the country and whipping them, you know? So college football's just changed so much that it's just hard to see it go back to Southern Miss being able to go to games like tonight and really, like, competing. But it's not just Southern Miss. Like, Louisiana, if they would have gone in there tonight, like, they would be getting beat 66-13.
Louisiana, you know, probably would have gotten beat worse. I don't have much faith in their team this
right.
year.
Like, there's no Sun Belt team that I think would really be any different score than what it was tonight. So, when we're saying Southern Miss, we're just saying Southern Miss because we cover Southern Miss and we're just talking about Southern Miss. But it's just any team. I mean, Ball State went into Georgia today and got beat like 52-3 or something. Like, Southern Miss going into Georgia, right? They would have gotten beat 52-3. That's just the thing. Like, and it's not like that. Like, Will Hall's kind of like, you know, like, we played hard. Like, that's almost all you can ask.
Yeah, no, it's all you can ask, especially, again, in a game that you're being paid $1.5 million to play. You're not expecting to win it. This team is paying you this much money because, like it or not, Florida State wants a guaranteed win on the table. And I hope and pray that it gets to a point in which teams either schedule these games where they pay Southern Miss money and they're scared about doing it, or they stop doing it, or they stop paying them because they are genuinely scheduling Southern Miss for the challenge. And if the fans and if the program and if Will Hall and the players stay the course, it's going to start happening soon, you know? But you have to give it more time. I've seen so many people talk about, you know, just how other teams can have a one-year turnaround, you know? And how, you know, Kane Womack turned South Alabama around way quicker. And how Texas State has completely turned around in less than a year. But the thing is, South Alabama had a pretty great program before Kane took over, you know?
Yeah.
And Texas State picked up almost 70 transfers. Like, I think it was like 50-something transfers. I don't know. It was a lot of transfers. And the thing is, whenever you do that, you run the risk of losing your identity in favor of wins. And I know that the Southern Miss faithful and that the Golden Eagle fans are hungry for wins, but Southern Miss's identity and Southern Miss's culture and its traditions are too special to be cast aside to have a better record for a couple years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Will Hall mentioned that. He mentioned, hey, it's going to be slow. It's going to be boring football for a while. But we're going to build back this program, and we're going to build it back right, and you are taking part in something special. I know that it's taking long, and I know that it's frustrating because, like, look, I'm on the sidelines taking pictures of a team that I've followed my whole life. You know what I mean? Obviously, I can have the capacity of feeling some, if not all, of the emotions that you are feeling right now, but Will Hall's building it back right, and he's built back a great program. Just this Florida State team would do this exact same score to, I would say, maybe a couple Power 5 teams. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This team, watch Florida State the rest of the season. They could have a similar score like this, or a score plus or minus 20 points on either side of the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Against any team in the AAC.
So, Patrick McGee, who he's on the Buzzardry pod, really good. Really good guy, really good show. You should check it out if you would like. He always does these like little stats, which I find always very interesting. And so thanks. This is a shout out to Patrick. But he was saying on Twitter tonight. He said it'd be cool if our bye games were 30 to 40 rank recruiters like in Arkansas or Georgia Tech instead of like FSU, Bama, and Ohio State. So Southern Miss plays Ohio State next year, and I think they play Alabama for a few years. And you know, people are you know, your immediate thought to that might be, well, Florida State would pay Southern Miss more to play in Tallahassee than say Arkansas would play, whatever. But he put this, he said FSU is writing Southern Miss a $1.5 million check. Jackson, do you know how much Troy got from Kansas State today?
How much?
Just guess.
I'd say 1.2.
1.4 million. So, you know, not that big of a difference from Florida State. And, like, can Southern Miss go to Kansas State and win? Like, I don't think so. But I think it'd be closer than 66 to 13.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think Southern Miss would win. But, like, at least you can go compete, right? And that's – and I agree with that mantra. So, this is the bottom line. Southern Miss is not close to the level of Florida State, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, all these blue blood programs who are, you know, multi-million dollar athletic budgets. They're just
hundreds of millions.
Yeah, hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
They're not on the level of that. Are they on the level of Kansas State, Arkansas, you know, I don't know, some other teams? No, but they could compete against those teams when they start building back this program. And that, to me, is the difference. That, you know, tonight, no chance of competing. And I said that all week on the podcast, and I got clowned for it. But no chance of competing tonight. That's just the bottom line. It's just a complete gap of talent. And so there's nothing about tonight that I thought that I saw that you're like, oh my gosh, you know, panic mode. This is a terrible team. Because it's so hard to gauge when you have that big of a talent. Like, you know, whoever played, who did Georgia play today?
Ball State.
Yeah, Ball State. Ball State's not going back home going, okay, guys, maybe we'll just burn the whole program down. No. They lost to the number one team in the country. Southern Miss just lost to the number four ranked team in the country, should be number one.
Yeah, Florida State, I'm calling it now. By the time the selection committee makes the College Football Playoff Committee, Florida State will be number one. The lowest they'll be is number three.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The lowest they'll be is number three.
Well, they have the best win right now, but anyways, this isn't a Florida State show. But they lost to the number four team in the country. Like, they got blown out. Anybody else would have gotten blown out tonight by them. So,
home opener,
right?
Southern Miss fans on Twitter, blown out.
Like, I've seen people calling for Will Hall's job, and that's just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Like that to me is just that's not what this is about. Okay, this is about go there, learn your mistakes, get another game in, get that environment. This is going to help.
Collect a check.
Yes. Like, so,
yeah.
But I do think in the future it would be better. Like Mississippi State this November, like that's a great game. Mississippi State's paying Southern Miss probably like, I don't know, $700,000 or whatever to play there. And I feel like Southern Miss can compete there. Like, I don't think it'll be 66-13. Like, I mean, you know, if you read our predictions, we both said that Southern Miss could win that game. So, but tonight, you know, no chance. And that's just the bottom line. And I don't know what else other to say than, you know, you kind of just lick your wounds and, you know, nobody really got hurt tonight. Like, no, I feel like that's a win.
That is a big win because there were about 3-4 players for FSU that went down. Mm-hmm. And hobbled off, and I didn't see them for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
That happened with no one. Nobody from Southern Miss even did so much as go down for more than a few seconds.
Right.
And that's huge because you are moving to arguably your biggest game of the season. Obviously, this is the toughest one on the schedule, and Mississippi State's going to be tough and all that stuff. This is your biggest game of the season coming up this Saturday. Aside from a possible conference championship, which is, you know, if Southern Miss can compete and beat Tulane, then that's not outside the realm of possibility. But Tulane's coming up at home, at the Rock, and that's what you got to start preparing for. You got to wipe this from your memory, be like, look, we just played a national championship team, and we collected a check, and now we're going back home. That's what you need to think. And again, for people that are calling for Will Hall's job, you should just watch our post-game pressers. Or, like, I wish that I just had a camera on when the cameras aren't on, okay? There is no one in this country or on this planet that I trust more to take this program and put it back to the level in which it was whenever my parents were in college than Will Hall. Like, no one on this planet that I trust more. You can pick any other college coach. Will Hall is the perfect man for the job right now, okay? And you need to be patient because like I said in our quarterback video, just rating Billy Wiles' performance, I said he had a B performance. And because, like, I said this, and I was kind of proud of it, so I'm going to say it again. Whenever you grade a quarterback's performance, it's not a math exam. It's an English essay. You know what I mean? Context matters. How you write it matters. The grammar, the syntax, the diction, that matters. Not the pure stats. Because if you look at the pure stats, Billy Wiles, 154 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Jordan Travis, the Heisman candidate, 174 yards, Dima. Only one touchdown? Or two touchdowns? Dang, this guy must suck. Only 175 yards to Billy Wiles, 154. This guy must be terrible. Mm-hmm. That's if you look at the pure stats, you know what I mean? You have to look at it within context. You have to look at the context of what it is that you are viewing. And Billy Wiles has a lot to learn. Obviously, he's a young guy. This is his second collegiate start. This is his second start since May of 2021 for his high school state championship. Stay the course, man. You stay the course, have faith, and support this team. If you are listening to this and you are in any way possible able to go to the game this upcoming Saturday, you have to go, man. Or find some way to support this team, because if you want to start calling for jobs, if you want to start saying that this team isn't doing all that they are supposed to be doing, then how about you start doing what you can do? You know what I mean? Like, if you expect this team to put their all in for you, I would highly encourage you to do the same. But yeah, that is Dima, I think this is the wrong house.
Yeah, I think we're pulling into
somebody else's house. It is 3:23 a.m. and we're pulling into somebody else's house. Dima,
dude, I'm so confused.
Why have you not looked at the map?
No. This is
This is definitely not the right house.
Yeah, why have you not looked at the maps? Because this is not the house, and we have just pulled so far. Like, we, like, parked in their front freaking yard. We parked in their front yard, and we pulled into their driveway.
We're going to get shot.
Flash, like we were just flashing this poor family's bedroom lights. And Dave was like,
oh, wait, we're still a half mile up down the road.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
This is some poor family.
Anyways, injury report. You know, I did, Cole Cavallo obviously didn't play tonight. I did not see Kenyon Clay. Did you see him down there?
I didn't see Kenyon Clay.
Yeah, I don't think he made the trip.
And in 81, Dalton Davis.
Yeah,
right?
You didn't see Dalton?
No, he was there. He just had playing clothes on.
Okay.
Playing clothes on. Gotcha. Which sucks because he's a good ball player.
Yeah. But anyways, we made it to the house. That was the wrong house. We just made it to the house. But so that's it. We're going to stop there. It's 3:25 in the morning now, so we need to get in and get some rest before headed back to Hattiesburg tomorrow. But Southern Miss loses 66-13. They take on Tulane next weekend for the Battle of the Bell. And we will obviously be there to cover
that. That is, you are just pulling through grass, man.
Dude, it is hard to see. All right, we made it now. There we go. but anyways, they take on Tulane for the Battle of the Bell. Next week is Saturday. Southern Miss 1-1. Tulane also 1-1 after losing to Ole Miss. So for Jackson Kennedy, I'm Dew Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.